my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Bear with me for just a moment. But since this is the Sunday, Trinity Sunday, that when we're supposed to count in threes, I want to tell you a story about our rector. About 2 weeks ago, the rumor has it that she went over to Country Gardens, and she had this overflowing brimmed garden hat and deep sunglasses so she could appear to be a demure gardener. And she was surveying the vast lot of plants and flowers and their fulgence, but she got more and more frustrated. And finally, a woman, an employee over there, went over and says, "Ma'am, can I help you? Is there some problem?" She says, "No, I see the annuals and I see the perennials, but where are the futures, the eternals? Where are they?" And now we shall begin. On Trinity Sunday, we are asked to consider, what is God like? Can we describe how God functions in the universe? And the answer we usually fabricate from scripture and human experience is that God acts as creator, savior, spirit, acting as a father or mother does in creating and nurturing life, acting as redeemer, the one who rescues, the one who takes the initiative and comes close to us in our need, the one who reveals the face and personality of God. And thirdly, God is described as the Holy Spirit, the sanctifier, the glue that empowers us and holds us together in our communal and family relationships, even when the going gets tough. And given my hobby of raising rabbits, I personally would conclude that the Holy Spirit acts like the Energizer Bunny. Today in many churches, there will be valiant efforts by preachers to explain the doctrine of the Trinity in an effort to make the matter more functional and digestible for belief. But such efforts to define or explain the Holy Trinity are met with any number of critics who say such things are untimely, flawed, and ultimately futile. As the French moralist Joseph Joubert wrote, and I quote, "It is easy to understand God as long as you don't try to explain him." The French author and philosopher Voltaire said surprisingly, "To believe in God is impossible, but not to believe in God is absurd." John Calvin, in a moment of pique, asked, "How can the infinite essence of God be defined by the narrow capacity of the human mind? And how can the human mind, by its own efforts, penetrate into an examination of the essence of God?" On the lighter side, I like Friedrich Nietzsche's remark, "Never trust a God who doesn't dance." Or the novelist Somerset Maugham, who wondered why religions never ascribe common sense to God as they should. One day, the sainted theologian Augustine was walking along the seashore, pondering how God could be one and yet three. Suddenly, he stopped to watch a child carrying a cup of ocean water to a small hole she had dug in the sand. "What are you doing?" asked Augustine. The child replied, "I'm trying to pour the ocean into this hole, that's what." The bishop laughed and said, "Oh, that's impossible." The child then stared into the bishop's eyes and replied, "It is no more impossible than for you to try to put God in your little brain." Smart aleck little girl, but yes, if you analyze a cup of water, you'll learn a lot about the ocean. I remember my own oceanside experience in West Haven, Connecticut years ago. I watched a very young girl, probably her first visit to the beach. I watched as she picked up in her little hands a big gob of sand, but as she squeezed it tighter and tighter, the more the sand escaped her grasp. That day, I learned something about holding things and people too closely, too literally. The Trinity is a shorthand description of all that God has done and is doing and will do for humanity and for our salvation. The Trinity teaches us there is an order, a discipline, a purpose, a structure that we can know, appreciate, and depend upon. Life is not something accidental, not fixed, not haphazard. Life is not something we dream up. For life is a sacred gift, a mystery, a plan, disclosed to us, created and established by God for us to work out and utilize in a living and reciprocal relationship. Since the French Pope John XXII, back in 1334, introduced his liturgical innovation called the Feast of the Holy Trinity with the Latin word Trinitas, coined by Tertullian, we have conjured up, you and I, all sorts of images about the Holy Trinity that only partially hit the mark. Now that green leaves and plants are blooming everywhere, including Cape Gardens, we hear the story of Blessed Patrick seizing upon the three-leafed shamrock, and it strikes an emotional chord with us. But with all due respect to my Irish friends, there is a writer from Heber Springs, Arkansas, who suggests that the Trinity should not be resorted to as a clover or a shamrock, not in the famous Ballantine beer three-ring sign, nor the common egg with its three elements, shell, white, and oak, nor the analogy of a candle with its tallow, wick, and surrounding air all contributing to the light. Rather, this writer asked us seriously to consider the early missionaries ministering to Native Americans who pointed to the leaves of the sassafras tree as a more vital visual aid for the Trinity, since, he observed, the sassafras tree has three distinctive and variegated leaves. Well, let it be said that the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is of crucial importance to Christians, affirmed every time we recite the Church's creeds. It is not an idol or a construct, as some suggest, but it is a biblical truth based upon our experience of God, on what God has chosen to reveal to humankind in ongoing self-revelation. And so on this Trinity Sunday, we are privileged, Lord, to praise you. For in creation we see a creator. In Jesus we see perfect man, a human vessel brimming full of grace, divinity, and love. In the Spirit we come to understand the sanctity, the beauty, the operant power of God to heal, to reconcile, the power to forgive, to transform, to love, to do justice, to make peace. O Father, creator of the light and source of all life, who has made us in thine image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ, today we praise you. O Jesus Christ, Son, Lord, and Redeemer, in you we see perfect man and God himself. On the first day of the week, you overcame death and the grave, and by your glorious resurrection, you opened for us the way of freedom and peace, raising our hopes to heaven. We praise you. O God, the Holy Spirit, who comes as wind, water, and fire, you have made us a new people, and you empower us to show forth your glory in all the world, and so we praise you. Amen.
Amen.